Constant Wonder Kids is a Constant Wonder podcast.
Hey, Wonder Kids, it's Paige. Of all the animals in the animal kingdom, one of my personal favorites is the giraffe. What do you know about giraffes? For instance, did you know that giraffes are the tallest mammals on land? What about the fact that giraffes spend most of their time on their feet, only sleeping for 35 minutes at a time? And while you might have heard that giraffes' tongues are purple, did you know that those purple tongues protect giraffes from getting sunburned? But even animals as tall as a giraffe can get in trouble and need help. That's what happened to a group of giraffes in Kenya. Today we're going to talk about that and how some smart people came together to save them. Our friend David O'Connor is the president of Save Giraffes Now, an organization that works to protect giraffes in the wild. He also works with the people who live nearby, forming teams that help when the giraffes are in danger. A couple of years ago, David had to figure out how to save 8 giraffes who were stranded on an island. And he did it by learning to think like a giraffe. Now, when I think of giraffes, I picture them on the African savanna, munching on leaves. How did these giraffes end up on an island?
When the giraffe were first brought to this place called Ruko, the area where they were was actually a peninsula, sticking out into the lake.
A peninsula is a piece of land with water on 3 sides.
So the plan was, let's reintroduce these giraffes. They had disappeared from that area 70 years ago. They'd been wiped out by over-hunting and poaching. So the community came together and said, let's try to reintroduce our beloved giraffes, bring them back home. So they brought in 8 giraffes onto a peninsula where they thought they could protect them well.
Do you know what poaching is? That's when there's a law that makes hunting illegal, but someone does it anyway. In Ruko, the community thought it would be easier to protect the giraffes if they only had to watch for poachers, you know, the people who hunt animals illegally, on that one side of the peninsula that was connected to the land.
The lake had other ideas, and it rose about 40 or 50 feet. So these giraffes were stuck on this island in the middle of a lake. It was about an hour from the nearest shoreline, about a mile or so, and they couldn't get off it. They can't swim. They were absolutely trapped.
So the peninsula turned into an island, water on all sides, because Kenya was getting more rain than ever before. The giraffes were trapped. Alone on an island that was shrinking every day, these giraffes weren't only stuck, they were in danger. There wasn't a lot of food on the island, so each day the giraffes became hungrier and hungrier. They also weren't the only hungry animals on the island. Crocodiles lurked in the water surrounding the giraffes, ready to take a bite if a tired giraffe got too close. Saving these 8 giraffes was important not just for their sake, but for the entire species. In Kenya, there are only 800 Rothschild giraffes left. So David and his friends knew that rescuing these giraffes would make a big difference. But how were they going to do it?
This had never been done before, ever, in terms of trying to save giraffe from an island. So we have to think about how can we get a 2-ton, nearly 20-foot animal safely off an island when they don't swim. And we've no idea what kind of sailors they are. So we went back and forth with the community, and they had great engineering skills. We thought through the design together.
They decided to build a raft. A giraffe. A raft for giraffes. They started by taking these big metal barrels called drums and then sticking them together with welding, which is when you melt metal to attach it to other metal. That way, the drums became the bottom of the raft.
It was made of 60 metal oil drums that were all welded together, and then there was a platform where we put packed earth down, and then the sides were maybe 12 feet high. If there was no fence, the giraffe would likely just slip off the side, because they're not used to being on a boat. So when we put them on the boat, and some of them we put a hood over them, you know, the way sometimes if you have a horse or something, you might put on to try to keep them calm. That's what we did with some of the giraffe we rescued. And, you know, they could just wander off the side, and that would be tragic. So we had to have a wall that was high enough that they couldn't reach over with their legs or get their legs stuck or kick out of it. It was very, very, very nerve-wracking for that first rescue, because we didn't know necessarily that the raft would stay afloat for the entire mile journey.
David and his friends have built what was probably the first boat built for just giraffes. I'm not counting Noah's Ark here. And it was just in time because these eight giraffes were stuck on a shrinking island in a huge lake. But how could the team convince the giraffes to get on the giraffe? They had to learn to think like a giraffe.
At the beginning, we started with mangoes, and then we tried other treats. And the giraffe were going for it. We'd move the food closer and closer, and they'd get close and get used to it. I was absolutely astounded. One of the giraffes, the only male on the island, Il Barnati, he was so greedy. He went onto the barge, and he was feeding on the barge. You know, we left it there for several weeks, and he was getting used to it. And in fact, he'd bully some other people away from the food. So one day we decided, okay, when he's on, let's move. And it didn't even faze him one bit. In fact, he kept feeding the entire way across the journey for the hour long it took to get to the other side.
While Il Barnati was willing to get on the raft just to follow some yummy fruit, the other giraffes were not so easily convinced. This left David and his team with the difficult task of shooting the giraffe with a tranquilizer, a drug that makes animals relax and fall asleep. Then they could put a hood on the giraffe's head, covering their eyes, and tie a rope around the giraffe's neck. When the giraffe had a hood on and ropes tied, the people could lead them onto the raft and they wouldn't be scared.
When you tranquilize a giraffe to treat it or to try to move it or save it, they don't do very well when they're sedated. When you tranquilize them, they fall over and they kind of fall asleep, and then there's very high risk to them. I mean, if you can imagine a giraffe, they're built to stand up straight, you know, 18 or 19 feet tall. So if they're horizontal, they're not engineered for that. They're engineered, you know, to pump the blood up 19 feet to their head. So when they go on their side and they're semi-unconscious, they lose control of that blood flow, what they have in their neck.
Using a tranquilizer or a sleep dart on the giraffe is dangerous because the drug can hurt the giraffe's heart by making it difficult to control the blood moving to different parts of their bodies. So, after the rescuers get the hood on, they have to quickly give the giraffe another drug, called a reversal drug, that makes them wake up. And the people had to sit on the neck of the giraffe who was just waking up from being asleep.
They're trying to raise their head, and it's amazing, there's a two-ton animal. But if you just by sitting on the neck near the head, it will stay laying down.
It was a risky plan, but the team was ready to try it out on a giraffe named Asiwa. And they didn't know if their plan would work.
So Asiwa, unfortunately, had become trapped on a sliver of island. Maybe 200 feet by 100 foot wide and very low lying, you know, with water kind of lapping at her hooves. And we had hoped that we could tempt her on with food. That didn't work. You know, she was very skittish at this stage, being trapped alone.
Now, if David could have talked to Asiwa, he could have explained that they were only trying to help. But, of course, his team doesn't speak giraffe, and Asiwa doesn't speak English. So they were in a tough spot. Asiwa was scared, and she didn't want to cooperate with the rescuers. She was stressed out from being alone, and things were just getting worse. So they decided to shoot the tranquilizer. Sometimes they called this darting, because the shot looks like a dart. And they wanted to dart her close to the giraffe, which they also called the barge.
We cleared an area. You know, we thought, let's dart her close to the barge. Hopefully she'll fall over there. And then we can walk her onto the barge, you know, very smoothly and easily. Well, of course, she was having absolutely none of that. And when we darted her, she actually ran all the way to as far away from the barge as you can go on the sliver of island. And thankfully, we were able to get her down just, I'm not even exaggerating, maybe two or three feet from the edge of the water. If she had fallen over and fallen asleep in the water, that would have been a disaster.
When Asiwa took off across the island, David chased after her, determined to help.
She went down in kind of thick, very dense brush. So there was no natural path. There was just acacia thorns and bushes everywhere. You couldn't even see her until you were nearly right beside her. And I was actually the first one to get her when she went down. And so I immediately, she was trying to bring her head up. So I immediately sat on her neck to try to, you know, control her head. And then she'd relax a little bit. And I tried to put a covering on her eyes while the rest of the team came. And I remember, you know, just after I arrived at the draft, I got this big push into the side, and it was the wildlife vet who was putting the reversal into a Siwa to reverse the tranquilizer so she'd start waking up. And then at that point, once the reversal is in, then we put the hood on, you know, to try to calm her. We put some earplugs, actually socks, in her ears, you know, to muffle the sound. And then we put some guide ropes around sort of where her neck meets her legs at the shoulder area so that we could guide her through when we started walking her.
David and his team successfully caught up with a Siwa, gave her the reversal drug, and got her ready to move towards the raft and eventual safety. But would a Siwa be willing to cooperate? What did she think about all these people around her?
So if you're a Siwa, she probably thinks we're predators, you know, so this isn't a very comfortable position for her. And we want to get her on the barge as soon as we can. And, you know, it was very, very thick brush. And so we had to try to get her up. And she was slow in getting up. We kind of had to help her get her head up. And then she sat on her haunches a little bit. And then finally she stood up. And at that point then, we had to try to walk her through this thick brush. And if you imagine, there's no trails or anything. And there's, you know, inch-long acacia thorns in this underbrush. And sometimes we even have to, you know, cut down bushes to make room for her. And we're trying to get her through, you know, there's some tall branches, so hopefully her head will go under and things like that. So it was very, very challenging. That first 15 minutes, it felt much longer, 15 minutes or so of trying to move a Siwa. But once she hit a trail she knew, her demeanor totally changed. It was absolutely incredible. It was just like walking a dog on a Sunday afternoon. She just walked very calmly the rest of the way when she hit a trail she knew. And straight onto the barge, no bother.
Walking like a dog on a Sunday afternoon. Isn't it amazing that even though she had been scared and confused, a Siwa was able to be calm once she hit a trail that she knew? Animals are pretty smart that way, recognizing places that they've been before. And once she calmed down, the plan worked. She got on the giraffe. Once a Siwa was happily on the giraffe, the team took her on the hour-long ride to get to the other side, where she was eventually reunited with Il Barnati and all the giraffes from the island. Once all eight of the giraffes were rescued, David and the community celebrated their mission. The giraffe had done its job, and all of the giraffes were safe.
I was there in December of 2021, and they're all looking amazing on the mainland. They're all together as a group. They're feeding. And, you know, they're so happy. They look healthier, their coats are shinier, their tick load is down. They're probably accessing a lot of different types of food that they didn't have on the island.
David and his team saved eight giraffes. Those giraffes had no other way off the island, but these people cared so much about them that they tried something that had never been done before. They built a giraffe and started to think like an animal to get the giraffes aboard. And now the giraffes are doing better than ever. This happy ending wouldn't have been possible without a lot of planning and hard work. They weren't sure they could do it, but David and his friends found out that you actually can get a giraffe on a boat. And more importantly, save animals in trouble.
The giraffes were stranded and feeling blue. The humans didn't know what they should do, so they thought like animals to save the day, built a giraffe and sailed away.
A quick word for you parents. This is Marcus Smith. I'm host of Constant Wonder, which is the source of material for Constant Wonder Kids. We made this episode because Constant Wonder contains a lot of great stuff kids will love too, but you may be wanting more. We've got a whole episode devoted to incredible animal rescues. If you want to hear the full presentation, go find Constant Wonder wherever you get your podcasts. It's called To Rescue an Animal, You've Got to Think Like One. Season 2, Episode 9. We actually think that you'll love more than just one episode of our podcast, which is an ongoing quest to find awe and wonder in all nature, human or wild, vast or small. The kind of encounters that move us beyond words. Remember when you had time for wonder? Well, we suspect you still do. Subscribe to Constant Wonder on your favorite platform. Constant Wonder Kids was produced by Paige Crumperman-Darrington with sound design by Mitchell Towsley. Constant Wonder Kids is a production of BYU Radio.